Hi everybody, welcome to Tips and Tricks with the Visual Studio Debugger. I decided to break this talk into a number of parts so that way each of these dev nuggets is digestible in hopefully less than 10 minutes a piece. And for those who know me out here in North Carolina, I've been doing this, been doing a talk lately that seems to be getting a lot of traction on tips and tricks in the debugger. And this series, we'll break it up into probably about three different parts. And we'll focus specifically in Visual Studio and some of the techniques that will hopefully make you a little bit better in your debugging of your applications. And this first one will be somewhat of an introductory to setting breakpoints and some of the methods you can use there. And then as we get further on in these other parts, we'll dive into some of these topics a little bit deeper. So for those who don't know me, I'm Brian Hitney, and I'm a developer evangelist with Microsoft based in the Carolinas. My website is up on this slide here, structuretoobig.com, and you can also email me, bhitney@microsoft.com. So let's just dive into it. One of the things that I always recommend to people when they're starting their debugging session is to always start debugging first before you start setting breakpoints and advanced breakpoints. The reason for this is that the debugger relies on both IntelliSense and also symbol tables in the PDB files to resolve names. And if you aren't actually debugging when you start setting advanced breakpoints, then you're going to be relying on IntelliSense only. So oftentimes this can mean that you enter information incorrectly and it's not caught, or you don't get it quite as rich of an experience as you could have if you had the debugger up and running at the time. So always try to stay in the debugger if you can. And the next thing I'd like to show before we bail out of the PowerPoint slides and just live in Visual Studio for the rest of this is I'd like to show you some of the glyphs that you may or may not have seen in Visual Studio. Now, the first one is pretty universal, where people have seen the circle that's either filled in red or is just empty, which indicates a normal breakpoint that's either enabled or disabled. Finally, underneath that, though, those are the advanced breakpoints. And that's the circle with the plus in the middle of it. That indicates an advanced breakpoint that has either a hit count modifier, some type of condition or filter property that's set on the breakpoint. We'll be getting into that a lot more in part two. The next one is a map breakpoint. If you've been doing a lot of ASP.NET development, you've probably seen that, where you set breakpoints in your HTML. The next three that are diamonds that have the inner icon similar to the three above it, those are trace points. First one being a normal trace point. The second one, the diamond with the plus in the middle, is an advanced trace point. And then the diamond with a diamond in the middle is a mapped trace point. Now, trace points are the same thing as regular breakpoints, except trace points don't stop execution. So they're useful for situations where you might want to be logging information, perhaps to the output window, or somehow, doing something like that, where you wouldn't want to stop execution of the debugger. So we'll show you how you can leverage that. And the last two, usually the last one is somewhat universal that people have seen, but starting with the second from the bottom is a breakpoint or trace point error, and that's with the X in the corner of the icon. And that means that the breakpoint or trace point will never be set. Typically, that means some type of invalid condition was specified on the breakpoint, and we'll have some examples of that later on as well. The last one, with the exclamation point, is a breakpoint or trace point warning, which generally means that the source location hasn't been loaded properly. So if you set a breakpoint and start a debugging session, it could be that a PDB file is out of date. Somehow the location just can't be resolved. So that one tends to show up more frequently. So at this point, let's just exit out of PowerPoint and we'll go into Visual Studio. So I've got my solution already loaded here, and I've got a CS breakpoint solution specifically for this presentation. And it's a simple Windows Form application that has a bunch of buttons here that I can use to help illustrate some of these techniques. I should say, though, that generally speaking, it doesn't matter what type of application you have. You could be debugging a console application, a WPF application, a WCF. It doesn't really matter what type of application you're trying to debug. Most of these principles apply just fine. So having said that, let's just dive right into this. The first thing I'm going to look at is the deep stack option that I have here. So when I click this button, what's going to happen is, I'll show you, we have a class called something to do, and we just call x.do here, and I'll open up the something to do class, and you can see what's going on. What this class does is it just generates an artificially deep call stack. So call is do because we have a bunch of methods here: do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti. And finally, we write hit the do down here when we hit the do method. So I'll set a breakpoint here on this console.write line just by clicking in the gutter, and we'll go ahead and start debugging. I'll click deep stack, and you can see, as expected, that we hit that breakpoint. Now, if I look at the call stack, let me make this a little bit bigger. You can see that, as expected, we have our call stack. Right, we have do re mi fa sol la ti do. Now, one of the things that we can do, which is really helpful if you're trying to debug an application that has a fairly deep call stack, which is not too uncommon, we can set breakpoints directly from this call stack. So, for example, if I'd like to set a breakpoint on la here, what I can do is I can, if I've got this highlighted in the call stack, I could just hit F9 directly on that line, and you could see in the code window up here that a breakpoint was indeed set on the first instruction in the la method. And I can go ahead and hit F5, and you'll see that we now hit that breakpoint. Another thing I can do here too is I can highlight something, for example, fa, right click, and select run to cursor. And what that will do is, obviously, it will continue execution to the point that we specified here in the call stack. That's really helpful if we want to pop out of the call stack a bit without having to set another breakpoint, only to delete the breakpoint later on. So again, a very helpful technique for doing that. The next thing I'd like to show you is some of the techniques in setting breakpoints using sub-expressions. So what I'll do is I'll go back to my main form here, and I have a big loop button. And what this does is it has a for loop where we iterate over a couple of variables that we have in here, I and m, and we'll go through this loop 10 times, and we'll increment I each time, and then we'll decrement m, and we'll just spit that information out to the console window right here in our trace.write line statement. Now, if I am on this line and I hit F9 or click in the gutter, whichever one you'd like to do to set a breakpoint, you'll see that we set a breakpoint on the first expression in a multi-expression line, so the first sub-expression. And that may or may not be what we'd like to have happen. For example, we might want to break on the I is less than 10 or on the I++ call. So what we can do is, if you put the cursor on the sub-expression you'd like to break on, you can press F9 again and get that breakpoint set. And likewise, we can go to any sub-expression and do this. Now, this applies, in this case, we're talking specifically about a for loop, but the same principle applies to any line of code where you've got multiple expressions. Likewise, I can come back in here, and if I'm highlighting the first sub-expression, I can press F9 and remove that breakpoint from that first sub-expression. So we can get granular as to how we want to stop executing on our for loop, which is pretty handy. Now, if we have multiple expressions set, multiple breakpoints set on a line like this, if we happen to click the breakpoint in the gutter, it will toggle these in a left to right fashion. So as I click it once, it will remove the breakpoint on the first sub-expression, then the second, and then the third. So it doesn't remember which way we set up those breakpoints. It'll just always toggle them left to right. The next thing I'd like to show is the quick break functionality. So if I go back to my something to do class, as you remember, we have do re mi fa sol la ti do. Now, sometimes when we have of very large class files and many class files to go through, we don't want to hunt down specific lines of code to set function to set breakpoints on various functions. And so, if you happen to know the function name, we can set that up directly using the quick break dialog box. So there's a few different ways to get to it. In the breakpoints window, you can select new break it function, or just hit Control D N, and that will bring up the break it function dialog box as well. So I'll do that here, Control D N, and it will bring up the new breakpoint dialog. And what we could do here is we could specify a function name. We can also select use IntelliSense to verify function name. This would pretty much always be checked, which is a good idea. And by default, it'll be the language of our project. And what I can do is I could specify either with a class name or without a class name. So, for example, right above the dialog box here, I have the T method. So I could say something like this, something to do dot T. And if I hit enter, you'll see that it sets the breakpoint on the first line of the T method right here. So that's pretty helpful to do that. And if I go back in, Control D N, what happens in situations where we have an overload? In fact, I'll close this and we'll just scroll down to the bottom of this class file. Here I've got two methods. I've both called overload, one that takes an integer, the other one takes a character. So if I press Control D N and I type in overload, now this time I'm going to emit the actual class name, and I will just press enter. See that we get this dialog box of choose breakpoint. So this is pretty cool because all we did was say overload, and it will look this up and show us whatever matches. Now, the other thing that happened here is because I left out the something to do class, this actually found all methods within my project that have that name overload. And in this case, I happen to have one that takes a string in my main form. So it found that one as well. So this is incredibly useful in situations where you perhaps have an interface of some kind and you want to set a lot of breakpoints and you know the name. It's much quicker to actually come in here and type them if you know the method name rather than hunting down specific lines of code. So I'll select the two here, click OK, and you can see that those breakpoints have been set. Likewise, down here we can always see in our breakpoints window all the current breakpoints that are set in our application. Now, unfortunately, in the new breakpoint dialog box, we cannot simply specify a class name such as something to do and then have it return a list of all methods and properties within that class. Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. One nice little feature that VB has that C Sharp does not have is in a VB project, if you'd like to put a breakpoint on a specific overloaded method without having that box come up, we can actually specify the parameter type when we put in the function name. So for example, overload, and then we can specify say the integer, the char, the string, whatever we'd like to do, and it will put the breakpoint on only that method that matches that signature. So that's kind of a nice feature that VB has. So that wraps up looking at ways we can set breakpoints. Now, this is pretty introductory level stuff, right? It typically what most developers tend to do is just click on a line and click in the gutter here to set a breakpoint. And so hopefully between using the call stack and the new breakpoint dialog box, it gives us a little bit more power in quickly finding a line to set a breakpoint at rather than having to surf through our solution and hunting down a specific method to set a breakpoint. Now, in my main form, go back to the big loop here. Notice that all these breakpoints that I have set by default are just normal breakpoints. And again, that's the regular red circle here without the plus or any other icon in the middle. If I right click on this, you can see that we have a bunch of options. Obviously, delete and disable the breakpoint, but we could specify various things like the condition, which we'll get into, the hit count modifier, filter, and when hit, which will allow us to control whether or not this is actually a breakpoint or a trace point. We're going to start talking about all these in part two. That will wrap up this specific dev nugget, and be sure to check out part two.